Dear radio friends, today we come again to the book of Ruth. We're in chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 11 to 18. In the earlier verses of the chapter, we looked at the marriage proposal of Ruth to Boaz. Naomi, out of her concern for Ruth, says in verse 1, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" And she means in marriage. She has a plan for Ruth to go where Boaz is sleeping at the threshing floor, and to request of him that he fulfill the responsibility of a near kinsman by marrying her and redeeming the land of Naomi. And so Ruth goes out and finds the place where Boaz is sleeping. She lies down near his feet. She lifts his blanket to cover herself. According to verse 9, this is a symbolic gesture. She says, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She's not simply asking Boaz to share his blanket because she's cold, but to provide security and protection for her as the near kinsman. As we looked at this proposal, we answered the question, is this appropriate behavior? What we saw is that it was the widow's right by the law of God to initiate the kinsman request if nothing was happening. We saw also the godliness of both Ruth and Boaz. There's no indiscretion here. Instead, Boaz praises Ruth for her desire to raise up the name of the family of Elimelech, and he blesses her in the name of Jehovah. At this point in the story, there's some suspense. How will Boaz respond? Is he willing to fulfill the role of the kinsman redeemer? Ruth has gone out and she's made herself vulnerable. There's the danger here of rejection, of rumor, and of a scandal. How will Boaz respond? Today we're going to look at the response of Boaz to Ruth's request. And there are three things that we want to see in these verses. First, the willingness of Boaz. Second, the godliness of Boaz. And third, the patience of Ruth. As we do this, we remember to look through this story to Jehovah, the God of providence, and to Jesus, the true Redeemer, who's pictured here in Boaz. You have here first the willingness of Boaz. That willingness is expressed in verse 11 when Boaz says to Ruth, "Now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest." Boaz is saying, "Whatever it takes, Ruth, I am willing to do it." But there's an obstacle. In verse 12, we find that there is a nearer kinsman, a closer relative, who has the right of redemption before Boaz. Maybe this is a detail that Ruth, being new to Bethlehem, doesn't know about, but Boaz knows about it, and he's telling Ruth, "Legally, I can't do this. I'm willing to take on this responsibility, but it's not my right. There's a closer relative who has this right." Is this a disappointment for Ruth? A setback? Probably it is. And that's why Boaz says in verse 13, "If he," that is the nearer kinsman, "if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth." Understanding Ruth's disappointment, he makes a vow to see to it that someone will redeem her and marry her. How reassuring this is for Ruth. He doesn't chase her away. He doesn't say, "Well, there's a nearer kinsman, so this is not my responsibility." No, he tells her, "Lie down till the morning. Rest about it, because now it's in my hands, and I will take care of it." And so she rests till the morning and gets up early to leave. And as she's leaving, Boaz again demonstrates his willingness by giving her 6 measures of barley to take home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. We don't know exactly what 6 measures is. Some speculate that a measure was about 20 pounds, so 6 measures would be 120 pounds. But I doubt that Ruth would carry home 120 pounds of grain. Regardless, the point here is this, that he gave her a good supply of grain. Not just what she needed for that day, or for 2 days, but for many days. And he gave that to her as a gift, to confirm his word as a token of his promise. And Boaz realizes that this is a promise not just to Ruth, but also to Naomi. In verse 17, as he gives Ruth the grain, he says, "Go not empty to thy mother-in-law." He wants Ruth to let Naomi know that he is willing to fulfill the part of a kinsman. Now this token reminds me of the gift that Joseph gave to his brothers to take back to Jacob, their father, in Canaan. When they came back and they tell Jacob, Joseph is yet alive, Jacob has trouble believing it until he sees the wagons and the supplies that Joseph sent back to bring him and his family to Egypt. Then he believes it. Boaz's gift of grain is something like that for Naomi. And the parallel today is that a man, when he asks a woman to marry him, puts an engagement ring on her finger. It's a token of his promise that he will keep his word. And that's exactly how Naomi reads it, too. In verse 18, she says to Ruth, "The man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing today." Boaz has made a promise, and he's confirmed it with a gift. He's a man of his word. He's willing to pay the price of redemption. What a moment of joy and euphoria for Ruth and Naomi. Their hope and their desire is confirmed. Their prayer is answered. And as we look at this, we should see the parallel in God's revelation of his promise to his people. Boaz the Redeemer stands as a type of Christ the Redeemer. And his willingness and promise are paralleled in the gospel. You can certainly see that throughout the Old Testament. Way back in Genesis 3 verse 15, you have God's promise of the Messiah, the seed of the woman. And God confirms that to Adam and Eve in the shedding of the blood of animals to provide a covering for their nakedness. And all through the Old Testament, God repeats and confirms this promise of Christ over and over again. The prophets speak the promise, and God confirms it with miracles, with ceremonies, with sacrifices, all the while telling his people, "I will keep my word and promise." And God works the same way today. Yes, we have the full revelation of the promise in Jesus Christ. He has already paid the price of redemption. He has demonstrated his willingness in laying down his own life to redeem his people. But the bride of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, still waits for her final redemption. And meanwhile, he gives evidences and tokens of his love and commitment to her. The Holy Spirit is called the earnest of our salvation. The sacraments are signs to remind us of his death. The Sabbath day is a day of promise and of hope in which we have a foretaste of the perfect fellowship that we will have with God in heaven. And all the while, God continues to speak to us through the Word. "I love you. I've laid down my life for you. I'm coming again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And in this way, Boaz the Redeemer, in his willingness, reminds us of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and his willingness. The second thing from these verses that we should see is the godliness of Boaz. Coming back to the story, the question is, what led Boaz to be willing? It certainly wasn't just out of duty. In fact, Boaz could have walked away from this deal. He wasn't the closest relative. It really wasn't first his responsibility. Why was Boaz willing? The verses indicate that Boaz was motivated by a personal godliness. That is, he was a man who lived constantly in the consciousness of God. When Ruth wakes him in the night, he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." In his first waking thoughts, startled awake, God is on his mind. And because of this, Boaz puts a priority on the Word of God. He was willing to marry Ruth. In fact, there are indications that he really wanted this. But there was something more important to Boaz, God's Word. God's Word gave the right of redemption to someone else before him. And so Boaz will defer to the other man. Though he loved Ruth, he loved God's Word more. And that's the foundation for a good marriage. That should be the foundation for all Christian dating. God's Word is more important than what we do in our relationships. And if you're looking for a good husband, here's one of the first tests in your dating. Does this young man respect what God's Word says about sex and its place only in marriage? He may say he loves you, but does he love God's Word more than he loves you? The godliness of Boaz comes out also in his evaluation of Ruth. Why was he willing to marry Ruth? Verse 11. He says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest for, and here's the reason, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. He evaluates Ruth and others according to their relationship to God. He sees in Ruth a loyalty and a purity and a godliness. If she was not godly, we can be sure he would have hesitated, but he admires her for her godliness, and so he's willing to marry her. And then also something of his character comes out in the way in which he behaves himself towards Ruth. And this indicates the kind of husband that he will be to her as well. A godly woman deserves respect. A woman is not a thing or a slave or an object. Boaz calls Ruth blessed, and my daughter. He shows that as a man he's ready to provide for Ruth and his family, giving her all this grain. This may seem old-fashioned, but the man's duty and calling from God is to be the breadwinner and provider for his family. Boaz is willing to do that. And then also he gives protection to Ruth. He tells her, lie down till the morning. He doesn't want her wandering home on her own in the night. But also he protects her reputation. In the morning when she is leaving early, he says to his servants, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. This is not because something inappropriate had taken place and he's trying to cover up a sin. But he wants to avoid the very appearance of evil in order to protect the reputation of Ruth. And that shows the kindness and love of Boaz. If someone is willing to sacrifice your reputation and to bring scandal on your name, that person doesn't love you, but Boaz protects the name of Ruth. And one more thing, because he lives before the Lord, Boaz is a man of his word. He will keep his promise because he lives before God. Now God's word records all these things about Boaz for us as an example of what a godly man, a person who calls himself a Christian, should be. The godly person will live always before the Lord. His constant God consciousness will motivate him to obey the Lord and to show kindness and love to others. And young people, young men and young women listening today, there's important instruction here for you in who you should be and in what you should look for in a prospective husband or wife, one who loves the Lord. But again, in the godliness of Boaz now, we should see Jesus. Boaz was this godly man because by the Spirit of God, he was created after the image of Christ. All godly virtue in a Christian is a reflection of Christ, who is the image bearer of God and the firstborn among his brethren. And in Christ we have not just a godly redeemer, but a perfect redeemer. He is the Lamb without spot or blemish, and that qualifies him to take our place as redeemer and to pay the price of redemption with his own blood. That brings us to the third thing in these verses, and that's the patience of Ruth. When Ruth comes home to Naomi in verse 16, Naomi asks her, "Who art thou, my daughter?" That's a rather curious question. She asks Ruth not, "How did you fare last night and what did you do?" but, "Who are you?" She inquires after her identity. Now, Ruth, we know, was the same person who went out the night before. So why does she ask, "Who are you?" And the answer is that if Boaz has said, "Yes, I will marry you," then Ruth's identity is changed. Naomi is asking, "So are you going to be the wife of Boaz? What's your identity?" And that's important for us as believers as well. The important question is not, "How are things going in your life?" or "What have you done as a Christian?" but, "Who are you? Are you one of Christ's? Do you belong to Him?" Things may not be going well in your life, but that doesn't matter so long as you are His. Who are you? Are you a Christian? And Ruth's answer has the same Christ-centered theme. In verse 16, she told Naomi all that the man had done to her. She didn't talk to Naomi about herself and what she had done, but about the man, her Redeemer, and what he had done. And that too is important among believers. We don't speak of what we have done, but of what he has done. If we would talk about what we have done, we'd have nothing to say. But when we talk about Christ, our Redeemer, and what he has done, there's so much to say. In the last verse of the chapter, Naomi says to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." There's great wisdom in those words. What she means is this: Ruth, you've done all that it was your duty to do. Now, it's off your hands. It's in God's hands. Don't be anxious about it, but wait on Him. There's a great lesson here for us in waiting on the Lord. Ruth was an industrious woman, a hard worker. Naomi was resourceful, full of plans. These women were diligent in what God had given them to do in their situation. But now it's time for them to sit still and wait on the Lord. What is it to wait on the Lord? Do you sit on your hands and say, "Well, everything's in God's hands, so we don't need to do anything"? No, that's not waiting on the Lord. That's denying your responsibility and despising the means that God has given. As we wait on the Lord, we're active in the duties that He has given. Just as Ruth was industrious and resourceful and did all that she could and must. But what Ruth has to realize now is that the results are not in her hands. God wants us to be faithful, not successful. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Waiting on the Lord means that we are faithful and diligent, and we commit our work to the Lord for His blessing. The results are in His hands. And that's such an important lesson for God's people. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to sit still and wait on the Lord. It's against our nature and against what our culture tells us. Society says, if you want something, you put your mind to it, you put in the effort, and you'll get it. The results are in your hands. You have the power. But the reality is that things are not in our hands, but the Lord's, and we must sit still and wait on Him. The wisdom of Naomi here encourages us to do just that. Maybe you're waiting for a marriage partner like Ruth was. Maybe it's your job situation. You've gotten the education and you've applied for the jobs, but you have to wait. Maybe it's your health. Something isn't right, and you've gone to the doctor. He's taken the samples, but it will be a few weeks before the results are clear. Maybe your concern is your children. You've raised them in the fear of the Lord, but you don't see the evidences of God's grace in their life. There are so many areas that this applies. And we are busy, 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 but anxious too because we're not seeing the results that we want. God's word is, it's in my hands. You sit and wait. This is a lesson that David had to learn. Anointed to be king of Israel, he was a fugitive and an exile for years. And so he writes, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's Psalm 27, verse 14. Waiting on the Lord, this is the strength of the believer. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who? They that wait on the Lord. This is what true faith looks like. Ruth must wait on her Redeemer, Boaz, trusting his word and promises. And that's what God's church and people, the bride of Jesus Christ, must do in this world. She waits. May God give us the grace and patience that we need to wait on Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of Christ and the wonderful promises of our Redeemer. Give us the grace of patience as we wait on Him. He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Keep us waiting and watching. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.